funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System. Christus Spahn Health System is making a multi-million dollar investment in the health of Coastal Bend families with a new shoreline tower featuring state-of-the-art life-saving medical technology for a growing community. More information is available at ourpathforward.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Live from Corpus Christi, Texas, welcome to the Cathedral Sunday Mass, where the gospel is proclaimed and our spirit refreshed by the real presence of the living God. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
Thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you.
And with
you. My sisters and brothers, as we enter into this beautiful time of Advent, a time of patient waiting for the Lord's coming, let us now acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do. Through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Grant your faithful, we pray, Almighty God, the resolve to run forth to meet your Christ with righteous deeds at his coming, so that gathered at his right hand, they may be worthy to possess the heavenly kingdom. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. This is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest mountain and raised above the hills. All nations shall stream toward it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us climb the Lord's mountain to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may instruct us in his ways and we may walk in his paths. For from Zion shall go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and impose terms on many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. One nation shall not raise the sword against another, nor shall they train for war again. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." The word of the Lord.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, you know the time. It is the hour now for you to awake from sleep. For our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is advanced, the day is at hand. Let us then throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us conduct ourselves properly as in the day, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in promiscuity and lust, not in rivalry and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the desires of the flesh. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. In those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not know until the flood came and carried them all away. So will it be also the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be out in the field. One will be taken, and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, and one will be left. Therefore, stay awake. For you do not know on which day your Lord will come. Be sure of this. If the master of the house had known the hour of the night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So too, you also must be prepared. For at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Do we need to celebrate Advent in order to celebrate Christmas? Many would say, no, it's just a time of shopping and preparing, etc., etc. But we cannot celebrate Christmas without Advent. Because if we did, if we eliminated this spiritual time of Advent, which means waiting, a coming, preparing, we would celebrate Christmas as a historical event 2,000 years ago, and not what Christmas really means. Christmas is the celebration of God becoming flesh, entering into our reality, into our joys, our pains, our expectations, our hopes, our sorrows, that God took all of that upon himself. And so we hear the readings today reminding us to stay awake, prepare yourselves, because the Lord is coming again. I'd like to read to us a passage from an ancient catechetical instruction. Whenever people hear religion or catechism, they think of sitting in a classroom, which is not what it was. Saint Cyril of Jerusalem in the early centuries of the church wrote about this regarding Advent. We do not preach only one coming of Christ, but a second as well, much more glorious than the first. The first coming was marked by patience, and the second will bring the crown of divine kingdom. In general, whatever relates to the Lord Jesus Christ has two aspects. There is a birth from God before the ages, and a birth from a virgin at the fullness of time. There is a hidden coming, like that of rain on fleece, and a coming before all eyes, still in the future. This was written 2,000 years ago. Still today in the future. At the first coming, he was wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger. At his second coming, he will be clothed in light as in a garment. In his first coming, he endured the cross, despising the shame. The second coming, he will be in glory, escorted by an army of angels. We look then beyond the first coming and await the second. At the first coming, we said, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And at the second, we shall say it again. We shall go out with the angels to meet the Lord and cry out in adoration, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Advent helps us to prepare not just for the first, so that we can celebrate Christmas well as a historical event, but it helps us to reinflame, or it should, in our lives, to look beyond the manger, and a second coming will come, will happen. The Lord will come again. That is what the church is about. That is why you and I gather every Sunday on the Lord's Day to celebrate his first coming, to celebrate his cross and resurrection, to celebrate redemption. But also, we come together on Sundays, the Lord's Day, to prepare for the second coming. Stay awake. Be alert. Live the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't just memorize verses. Don't just memorize theology or catechism. Live. Live the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what St. Paul reminds us of, and that's what the church preaches today. Stop living in such a way that we fall asleep, that we're distracted in life, that we're not aware of God's presence every day. In that person that passes in front of me today, it is I, Jesus said. Whatever you do, the least you have done to me. Are we aware of that? Have we fallen asleep to everything he has said and fall into a passive, sleepy kind of life, just waiting for whatever happens, mainly our own death? He may come before that happens. Are we ready? And so our life on earth is a preparation to meet him. But I think it would be better for us to reverse it a bit in order to understand how to live today. How do I live my daily life as a Christian, as a Catholic? How do I do that? Is one day just like the others? Or is there a simple intensity that I could live? Most of us just go about our daily routines, and one day passes and another one comes, and we just go about the first cup of coffee in the morning and the last bite of dinner at night. We go to bed and it's over. We start over. But maybe there's something that we could do. We talk about living our life in front of Jesus. Let's imagine him coming again every day. Because he does come to us every day. It's just that we're asleep. We're not aware. But Jesus said this very powerfully. When the Son of Man comes, will he find any faith on earth? Put more personally, when Jesus returns, will he find any marking of himself in me? I know a very saintly person who died a few years ago, who before she died, the last couple of years, read the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And she marked it to see how much she had lived in her own life, each one of those things that Jesus said. When he returns, she said, will he find that in me? Or was it just something I heard and went on my way? The gospel that is announced here every Sunday. Is there any mark of the life of Jesus in me? Because that's what he's going to look for. When the Son of Man comes, and he will come, will he find anything of himself in me? Or will he only find me and my giving in to the temptations of this life? Will he only find in me my adaptation to the mentality of the world today? Will he only find in me my adaptation to the society around me? Because everybody's thinking that. The gospel was not meant to be enculturated into the evils of this world, but to call the society to Jesus Christ. That's our work. That's our job. That's our life. Sisters and brothers, let's not fall asleep in this Advent. Let's find a way to take up the scripture readings that are assigned every day by the church to prepare us for the celebration of Christmas and for the second coming. I'm sure you all have internet. You can go to the Bishop's Conference, USCCB. You can go to our website, click on readings of the day, take 10 minutes and read them and say, is any of that in me? What's the Lord saying to me? Because Jesus is as present today as he was long ago. I now go to the second part of my remarks today, and that is to read a letter to you that was written by myself to the entire diocese to be read at all masses today. It is an encouragement, I hope, but it is also an announcement that will be made. My dear brothers and sisters, Advent begins today. Through liturgy and prayer, this time of conversion prepares us to joyfully anticipate the birth of our Savior in Bethlehem of Judea. But Advent also draws our attention to the second coming of Christ. He will come again. Stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come. Understood properly, the Christian life is an ongoing encounter with Jesus Christ, who promised to be with us always. Put him first in our lives. This encourages us to yearn to meet him each day, face to face, and for all eternity. Am I prepared to meet him? Are you? Do we long to meet Jesus Christ? While Advent is an annual reminder of the Lord's first coming, the Christian life, the life that you and I are to live, is an ongoing Advent of vigilance for the second coming of Christ. Jesus said today in the Gospel, "You must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." How prepared are we? St. Paul penned a note of urgency to the church in Rome, as we read today. It is the hour for you to awake from your sleep and to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, making no provision for the desires of the flesh. As the pastor of the Diocese of Corpus Christi, I have asked myself, how can I assist us to encounter Christ and to bring this encounter to others, especially those who are on the periphery of life? In response with this Advent letter, I announce to you, the diocese, a Eucharistic Congress for the Diocese of Corpus Christi in June of 2022. The dates are June 16 through 19, 2022. Your responses to the pastoral planning listening sessions and on the surveys that were 2 years ago have provided me and those who are assisting me with valuable input to study and reflection and reflect on materials that will be made available through the diocese in preparation for our great event of 2022. A more detailed schedule of parish and diocesan initiatives for study guides will be available early this next year of 2020. So there will be 2 years to prepare for this Congress. There will be talks, there will be activities, there will be prayers, there will be liturgies, there will be events in parishes, the cathedral, diocesan events, there will be artistic expressions. I do hope that you will take the time in these 2 years to participate in these activities as much as possible, so that in 2022 we can come together for 3 days to express our faith openly in the throughout the city and throughout the diocese. And so I invite every parishioner and every organization in the parishes and the diocese to take part as much as possible. I am calling on us to renew ourselves and together to renew the diocese. Our efforts as one body will be decisive for us personally and for the future of the diocese. Together, not individually, but together, all things are possible in Jesus Christ. Our spiritual renewal as missionary disciples will renew and challenge us to a sincere, transforming encounter with Jesus Christ in the sacrament of his body and blood. It will also allow us to experience him present in our midst as his body, the body of Christ. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. Our world is hurting and our church is wounded. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the answer. Through his Holy Spirit, he is appealing to us to seriously recommit ourselves to our baptismal life and to be united in his commandment of love as a covenant and as a mission to respond to this hurting world and our suffering church. If we do not respond, who will? During Advent, then, I encourage you to spend time with the daily scripture readings as the best way to prepare to celebrate his birth. May Mary, Mother of the Church and the Church's perfect model, the first to leave everything behind and say yes to God, may she show us the way to enrich our faith, strengthen our hope, and inflame our hearts with love this Advent season. And it's signed by me. So I really hope that over these two and a half years, with the various events that we'll be able to prepare, both throughout the diocese, but also in local parishes, that these will really help us to become more who we are, the body of Christ. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, true God from true God, begotten, not made, so with the Father. As we now prepare for the coming of the Lord, let us gather our needs and concerns and bring them to God's holy mountain.
For our church, that we may go rejoicing to the house of the Lord, let us pray to the Lord. For leaders of nations, that they may continually work to bring about the day when all armies will lay down their arms and beat their swords into plowshares, let us pray to the Lord. For the poor and hungry, who often are neglected during the time between Thanksgiving and Christmas, that they may be cared for and provided for throughout the year, let us pray to the Lord. For all of us gathered here today, that we may take the opportunity over the next 4 weeks to prepare our hearts to receive the Lord with the wonder and joy of a child at Christmas, let us pray to the Lord. That the Lord give members of our military courage and strength against all enemies, both spiritual and physical, and hasten their safe journeys back to their families and homes, let us pray to the Lord. And for the intentions of this Mass, for the eternal repose of Robert E. and Hannah G. Hagelin, Robert E. Hagelin Jr., Frank Garza Jr., Cassiano Noni Remolador, Sam McCoy, and Siobhan Beck, and for the special intentions of Lloyd Alexander Flores. And for all the intentions that we hold in the silence of our hearts, and all our intentions, spoken and unspoken. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord.
Let us pray. Lord God, your church joyfully awaits the coming of its Savior, who enlightens our hearts and dispels the darkness of ignorance and sin. Pour forth your blessing upon us as we light the candles of this wreath. May their light reflect the splendor of Christ, who is Lord forever and ever. Amen.
Please be seated.
Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Grant your faithful, accept, we pray, O Lord, these offerings we make, gathered from among your gifts to us. And may what you grant us to celebrate devoutly here below gain for us the prize of eternal redemption. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. For he assumed at his first coming the lowliness of human flesh, and so fulfilled the design you formed long ago, and opened for us the way to eternal salvation, that when he comes again in glory and majesty, and all is at last made manifest, we who watch for that day may inherit the great promise in which we now dare to hope. And so with angels and archangels, with thrones and dominions, and with all the hosts and powers of heaven, we sing the hymn of your glory as without end we acclaim. You are indeed holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice. And once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me."
The mystery of faith. Confess your resurrection.
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Francis, our Pope, me, your unworthy servant, and all the clergy.
Remember all our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, Blessed Joseph, her spouse, your blessed apostles, and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, may we merit to be co-heirs to eternal life and praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we now dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Hello, I'm Father Pete Alisandro, Rector of the Corpus Christi Cathedral. And on behalf of Bishop Movi and the Cathedral family, we want to thank you for joining us for the celebration of the Holy Eucharist. May God continue to bless you and all of your loved ones with his love, peace, and joy. And may you always know how we carry you always in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you and keep you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by Christus Spahn Health System, making a multi-million dollar investment in a new state-of-the-art shoreline tower. For more information on the region's most advanced medical center with skilled physicians and highly specialized services like trauma, heart, surgery, and urology all under one roof, log on to ourpathforward.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System for their continuing support of the Cathedral Sunday Mass. If you have been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.